This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's great to have you with us for the Monday edition of the Noon Business Hour. As another trading week begins, I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We have sunny skies. Expect a high near 60 this afternoon. Right now, it's 54 degrees.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Let's kick things off with an update of Wall Street. At Bloomberg, here's Jeff Bellinger.
And Cisco analysts had some high hopes for the start of the midweek session, or the start of the week on Wall Street, I should say, after Asian shares rallied overnight. But the best we've been able to do so far is a mixed market. Dow Jones Industrials are down 143 points, 25,301. NASDAQ still up 28 points. S&P 500 is down 9. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is virtually flat now, down less than a tenth of a percent. Hasbro reported a tough third quarter. Its shares are down nearly 4%, and shares of Kimberly-Clark are losing ground even though the consumer product company's quarterly results top forecasts. Kimberly-Clark is down 2.3% this hour. Back to you.
And on today's Noon Business Hour, your FICO credit score there's some news about that today that you're going to want to hear about. And investors and the midterms and Goldman Sachs, all of that coming up on the Noon Business Hour.
Hasbro is hurting. We'll tell you why. And it is Stock Picker Monday. An investing pro will join us to give you some advice for your portfolio. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
Making sense of your dollars. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
A major overhaul is coming to the way a leading company calculates your credit score. We're going to be covering that in our next segment right now. The week ahead includes earning reports from the tech sector, the latest tally on the gross domestic product, an international gathering of financial movers and shakers. Let's get a preview from Tom Hudson, week ahead columnist at McClatchy Tribune Services in Miami. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. Tom, what's your headline here?
The headline is going to be on Thursday with earnings from a couple of big technology companies, two of the biggest five publicly traded companies in the United States, Amazon and Alphabet, the parent company from Google. There are, you're right, dozens, if not hundreds of earnings calls and earnings releases due out this week. We're in the thick of the third quarter earnings season, but I think those two companies are really going to be a lightning rod for investors, not only just technology investors, but market sentiment. And the reason why, not only the sheer size of it, but those have been momentum players on the Amazon side. That stock is up about 50% or so this year alone, where Google is essentially flat, where Alphabet is essentially flat. So investors are keyed up and teed up for what these companies are going to report. And they don't traditionally tip their hand all that much. So we only get this opportunity four times a year. And Thursday is going to be one of them.
Just right now, the Dow Industrials are down 160 points. The NASDAQ are higher by 43. But in the long range here, as we look at these stocks, where is Amazon's position?
Amazon's position is in the cloud. I wrote a column this week to say, don't pay so much attention to its retail business, its e-commerce business. Watch Amazon Web Services, AWS. It's the piece of Amazon that essentially is the technology to power the Amazon website and the fulfillment, but it leases a lot of that data processing and cloud computing capacity to other companies. And it has been the place where Amazon has seen significant revenue growth and really is the profit center for the overall Amazon business. So that's the place I think investors really want to focus in on. Clearly, there's always going to be storylines around, you know, what else Amazon can do, drone delivery and the outlook for the holiday shopping season and Black Friday, and all of those things are going to be important, no doubt about it. But for fundamental long-term investors, you want to look at the health of the business at the Amazon Web Services.
And has that been the secret to, a lot of people wondered for so long, I mean, how can Amazon sell so many things so cheaply, especially books at such low costs? Has it been the web services that have allowed them to do that?
Well, it's the web services that's been allowed the company to report profits over the last couple of quarters. So it has the infrastructure certainly has fueled the public-facing part of Amazon between the cheap stuff online that we buy, as well as the streaming media and the Amazon Prime and the videos and the music. But it turns out Amazon really at its heart has been growing into a hardcore technology service provider, while on the surface it remains a e-commerce and even a grocery store at this point with its purchase over the last couple of years of Whole Foods.
Tom, tell us about this Saudi investment conference. Sounds like it was supposed to be quite a big deal, and little by little the air's being let out of the balloon.
Well, in for good purpose, certainly. The murder of Jamal Khashoggi in Turkey has made corporate America first respond, with some very significant Fortune 50 CEOs scheduled to arrive at this conference and participate in the conference, essentially cancel those plans. And then, of course, the United States Treasury Department and government officials also have moved away. This is where geopolitics and business have collided in a very big way. And this is not to at all minimize the real questions around the Saudi behavior toward Khashoggi, what happened inside the consulate in Turkey to the Washington Post columnist, and of course the real human tragedy of the story for his family and his friends. But at this state of geopolitical affairs, corporate America acted first to move away from this conference, and then we saw some of the government officials do the same.
Tom, always good to talk with you. Thanks for joining us today. Tom Hudson, Week Ahead columnist at McClatchy Tribune News Services in Miami.
Up next, your credit score could be changing. Will this be positive or negative for you? Coming up.
Cash, credit, debit, and totally free. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The creator of the FICO credit score is planning changes in how it determines your credit worthiness. Let's get the details from Ted Rossman, industry analyst at creditcards.com, based in New York. Ted, tell us about this change. What are they doing?
Good afternoon. So there's a new development today from FICO and Experian. It's called Ultra FICO. It's a new iteration of the credit score model that's going to allow people who are on the margins of credit to hopefully get into the credit system. So it's going to allow issuers to access things like bank account records, and they're going to be looking for a long history without overdrafts, and they want to make sure that you have at least $400 in the account. If you do that, FICO says 7 in 10 people will see their scores jump, and they might jump enough to get you into a loan that you might not otherwise have qualified for.
So is this a good development? I mean, is this going to get financing for people who it sounds like it's going to get financing for people who otherwise wouldn't get it, but is that necessarily a good thing?
That's the big question. So it could be a good thing. The problem is that right now things are about as good as they get with the economy. Unemployment is super low, credit delinquencies are really low, GDP is high. So I do worry that if there's somebody on the margins now who gets into a loan that might be considered a bit risky, yeah, that might be okay now, but what if the economy goes into a downturn in the next few years? Is that going to be looking as favorable as it does today? I think there's the big question mark.
Well, what is the big difference between the system the way it has been up until today and this new idea? What's the big difference?
Your bank accounts have not factored into the FICO algorithm to date. So I think that's the other slippery slope here. It's always been about how you manage your money, not about how much money you have. Now, this initial bar, $400, is pretty low. But I do wonder, hypothetically speaking, what if in the future that number gets raised? Could it be that people with higher incomes and more assets are viewed as more credit worthy? I think that's a bit of a dangerous argument, so I'll be interested to see where this goes.
So you have some considerations about this, that you're not, maybe it's not the best model.
I think that it's a good thing in general to give people more access to credit, provided they can pay it back. I think especially the younger adults, I think that's an area where the credit companies should really be focused on getting those people into the system. Like my brother, for example, in his mid-20s, didn't have a credit score because he'd rented an apartment. Well, that didn't count. He paid his cell phone. He paid his utilities. None of that counted. I'd like to see those things brought in, maybe more than some of these other changes that could be a little bit riskier.
Let's talk about the other side. We've talked about the people trying to get credit. What about the people who are handing it out? What does this say about the state of companies offering loans and credit cards and that sort of thing? Do they need more customers, or do they need another metric? Why would they want this?
It seems like the lenders do want a wider pool of consumers to offer credit to. So inherently, not a bad thing at all. But again, are we in the best case scenario now, and how much longer will that last? I think that's the big question. And I think that the credit industry has kind of backed into this change here. I think that they came in with the idea of, well, how do we find more people to lend money to? And then this solution came about as an answer. I think that's where it could potentially be risky and could get some people into loans that maybe they shouldn't be in.
All right, Ted, very interesting. Thanks for joining us today. Ted Rossman is industry analyst at creditcards.com in New York.
WBBM News Time 12:25, a check of the markets with Bloomberg, sponsored by Baird. Here's Jeff Bellinger.
And Cisco investors were hard-pressed to find direction setters today, with no economic indicators released, no Fed officials talking, and only a few notable earnings reports. That all changes as the week goes on. Caterpillar reports quarterly results tomorrow. Chicago Fed President Charles Evans is one of five Fed presidents who will be speaking tomorrow. But that's tomorrow. Today, the Dow Jones Industrials are down 140 points, 25,303. The NASDAQ is up 29, and the S&P 500 is down 10 points. Now we check in with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities.
And we've had mixed prices here today. Corn's been higher most of the day. At the moment, we have December up 2.5 at 369.5. Beans have been down 1 to up 6.5 most of the day, up 1 to 3. November's are up 2 at the moment at 858.75. And wheat's been lower most of the day. July down 6.25 at 546.5. Mixed prices at the Chicago Board of Trade. And this is Pete Manhart from Bates Commodities in Normal.
And the Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index is up a tenth of a percent. With business at 25 and 55 and in the noon business hour, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, I'm Jeff Bellinger, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Markets are mixed. We'll see what's moving Wall Street.
Stock Picker Monday. We'll have a couple of suggestions from an investment pro.
Shares of Hasbro slide after the company says it's short on inventories. We'll examine how the demise of Toys R Us is affecting the toy maker.
Charges are filed in the murder of a 2-year-old boy on Chicago's Northwest Side 2 weeks ago.
LGBTQ groups plan a White House rally to protest reported changes involving transgender policy.
Right now, the Dow Industrials down 137, the NASDAQ up 26, almost 27, and the S&P 500 down 10.
Sunshine all day long, headed to a high of 60 degrees. Right now, it's 50. The noon business hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park.
Well, the stocks are off to a sluggish start. We are joined by Nick Reich, the CEO of Earnings Scout in Cleveland, Ohio. Nick, what are you thinking about the markets today?
Well, this is a very busy week for earnings, and that's our specialty at the Earnings Scout. And by the end of this week, half of the S&P 500 companies will have reported third quarter results. And we will see how tariffs, rising interest rates, tax cuts, or all those variables are going to impact the bottom lines, and really not the bottom lines for the third quarter. What we're worried about, the bottom lines for 2019 and the expectations, whether they need to be ratcheted back or not.
What about how we're feeling about what's going on overseas in the U.S. economy?
I think both the Trump administration and the Fed needs to be very concerned about what's going on overseas. When we look at the S&P 500, almost half of the profits are derived outside of U.S. borders. And if Asia is going to struggle, and Chinese markets have certainly struggled this year, their economy's weakening, at the end of the day, what happens with U.S. companies is that do business over there, they'll start to feel the pain as well, and their expectations may need to get ratcheted down. And as those earnings expectations get ratcheted down, prices will need to reset lower. So the administration's both on the fiscal policy and monetary policy side need to be very aware of what's going across overseas because the world is globally connected.
Well, talk about the challenges for some of those companies where a lot of their profits do come from overseas. Does that put them in a position where not only a weakening in their economy, but changes in these various trade agreements might hurt them in some of these markets?
There's no doubt that some of the trade agreements will be detrimental to some of the larger corporations that do business overseas, and not just from their own standpoint, but if it's going to the Make America Great Again policy and drive by the Trump administration is good for the U.S. because it makes the U.S. better, but at the same time, it cannot crush economies across the world because the world has become too interconnected. So there's got to be a balancing act there. Otherwise, it could be very detrimental to large companies, multinational companies that do business abroad. And the Trump administration has very good policies that are very bullish for business in terms of less regulation and less tax cuts. And then at the same time, some of the tariffs are equally as bad for business. So it's going to be very interesting to see this earnings season, whether the positive or negative factors, which one outweighs the other.
And let's talk about earnings season. It's underway, still obviously lots to come. But what do you make of it so far, and how do you think it's going to end up when it's all over?
Very strong numbers here in the third quarter. So as of right now, 88 companies, so almost 18% of the S&P 500 has already reported actual numbers. 25% earnings growth reported for those 88 companies collectively, 7.5% sales growth. Those are both above trend figures. Some of that's the tax cuts going. What we want to see this earnings season the most as companies report is their revenue growth. Because what we want to see, we don't want to guess, are the tax cuts that were enacted earlier this year working? And one way we're going to see whether they're working, everyone has their opinion, we're going to see the proof in the pudding when companies actually report their top-line sales. Is the business environment getting better? 7.5% revenue growth, that's pretty strong revenue growth above trend. Now, that's the good news. The bad news is that's a little bit less of growth rate compared to what we saw the same 88 report in the second quarter from about 9%. So the growth is slowing a little bit, but as long as it stays above trend, the cycle can be extended, and it tells us maybe the tax cuts are in fact working.
Do you have any concerns? Some of the people we've talked to do have concerns about interest rates and looking ahead a year or two.
Absolutely. So that's one of the other negative factors out there for the economy. Rising interest rates, tariffs will eventually erode profits if rates rise too far, too fast. What we don't do is guess. What we look to do is when the estimates or the interest rate expectations are going up, how is that impacting the profit expectations? And throughout last year, as the Fed has been raising rates, profit expectations were actually improving. At some point, the Fed will raise rates too far, and they'll tinker too much, and then the estimates will start to go south. They are starting to do that over the last 6 or 9 months, and I think that's one of the reasons why we're seeing volatility start to pick back up in the markets.
Nick, where would you urge investors who are looking for not a bargain necessarily, but something that's going to help them, their portfolios?
Well, we've definitely, beginning in September, started saying get more defensive, a shift, but we're still overweight U.S. stocks. We still think U.S. is the place to be, and smaller companies should be more insulated from trade wars or any escalating costs there, and also insulated from faltering emerging market economies. Recently was at a luncheon the other week with a bunch of 20 CEOs I spoke to, and they all said these were smaller, mid-sized companies here in the Midwest. They were all very bullish on the economy for 2019 and not seeing any breakdown in their profits and what they're seeing with the tax cuts and less regulations really helping their business. Now, they're less insulated from the global economy. Larger companies such as Nike, Coca-Cola, McDonald's that are doing business overseas may feel a little bit more pain. So we're saying stay home in the U.S., stay small.
Is this time also to start considering dividend stocks if you're moving a little more defensive?
Yes, definitely. We've rotated more towards defensive sectors. The dividend stocks have not performed very well. Value stocks have not performed very well. We think that will start reversing out. And one of the things that we're going to expect is the Fed's going to eventually adopt a lower-for-longer strategy in terms of interest rates. We think eventually they're going to back off, and when they do, you're going to start to see some of those dividend performers that have been beaten down a little too much start to outperform again.
Well, thank you for all the information today, Nick. Nice to have you on the program. Nick Raich is CEO of the Earnings Scout in Cleveland, and the website is earningsscout.com. Up next, how Hasbro is struggling with the fallout from the bankruptcy of Toys R Us.
Information you can bank on.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Stocks are off to a sluggish start, including Hasbro, as they're taking a hit after a disappointing earnings report. Hasbro down a little over 3% right now. Let's look at the reasons behind the struggle in Hasbro. Matt Townsend is joining us, a reporter at Bloomberg based in New York. So, Matt, what's the bad news for Hasbro?
It all stems from Toys R Us. You know, the company, the toy retailer, liquidated or started liquidating in March. And, you know, Hasbro is basically saying, we're trying to recover those sales. We've recovered about a third of them. That was a little bit less than investors expected. And there's just more concern that maybe some of this ground will never get made up for Hasbro, which saw its stock fall at one point the most in about a year earlier this morning.
Was there an inventory issue as well? You had Toys R Us with all these stores. All those stores are filled with inventory, and so if they're gone, well, who's going to take the stuff?
Yeah, that is one of the big challenges. You know, the Hasbro management team has been trying to paint this picture since Toys R Us first filed for bankruptcy even last year that, you know, things were going to be rough, there's going to be disruption, but they thought that they would be able to smoothly sort of, you know, overcome that. And while we have seen Walmart and Amazon and Target increase their store inventories and buying more, it still is not enough to fill the Toys R Us void. You know, basically last fourth quarter, Toys R Us just in the U.S. was a $3 billion business. So that's a lot of ground to make up.
We had in the copy this morning that retail investors in the U.S. are down 17%. What does that mean?
The retail investors in for Hasbro, or the retail inventories for Hasbro, are basically just a measure of, you know, how much of their goods are at retailers. So the fact that it's down shows just, you know, potentially there's not enough goods at retail, or, you know, that's part of the reason why their sales are struggling, is that there's just not enough inventory out there right now.
And is Amazon picking up on the winning here?
Amazon is one of the companies for sure. You know, we reported earlier this year that Amazon was actually coming out with their own toy catalog this year. They're going to distribute it at Whole Foods, which they now own. So they definitely are making a bigger push into toys. But that's not to cut short, you know, Walmart and Target, so the other big players in the U.S. market. They've definitely expanded their offerings and see it as an opportunity to gain some share. The big concern, though, is for Hasbro and Mattel, but also smaller toy makers that really relied even more on Toys R Us. You know, where are they going to make up these sales? Because they aren't necessarily getting into the big chains like Walmart and Target.
Good information. Thanks for being with us. Matt Townsend, a reporter for Bloomberg in New York. This time tomorrow, Travel Tuesday. Still to come, our Monday stock picker.
Discussing your dollars, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday on the Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Geiger Wealth. And helping us out today, Michael Palumbo, manager of the TMT Perseverance Fund and author of the book Calculated Risk here in Chicago. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Michael. What's your first pick?
Good afternoon, Chris and Cisco. My first pick is Amazon. And the reason being, we've had a tech sell-off over the last month. October has been terrible for tech. It's been terrible for the markets. But generally, when you get a pullback like this, you want to go to best in breed. You want to go to the best stocks. They're probably selling. They're probably trading 10% off. So Amazon's off 12% from its high. This is a great time to get in. It's a stock that's just been sold with everything else. And if you really believe in tech going forward, this is a great time to get in.
Are there any concerns at Amazon? It just seems to be doing so well all the time.
Right. So yeah, you know, you always want to be a little bit wary of stocks that just go straight up. But you know what? Now Amazon's pulled back 12%. They do report earnings Thursday. In general, when they report earnings, the stock reacts positively. It's gone up every earnings this year after they've reported. And again, they report Thursday after the close. Expected $3.29 a share. They'll probably beat it handily, and the stock will rally. And this is just a good time. Now, that's if you like technology, and it's technology has pulled back here. If you like tech, this is a great time to buy.
So on Amazon, where do you expect this to go? And the reason I ask is it's $17.85 a share now. I remember people who said when it was $400 or $500 a share, oh, it's too expensive. Give it some time before you buy in.
Well, here's the thing. Amazon doesn't split the stock. So, you know, the stock just keeps going up. A lot of stocks, they split when they get to a certain level. So the price might have a few people concerned because, like I said, they never split the stock. So really the price is not important here. It's really just important about what you're getting at that price. And Amazon, to me, is a steal when it's trading down 12%. It was just over $2,000 a few weeks ago. So this is a great time. That's if you like technology. If you believe in the space in general, and that it's going to continue to do well going forward, this is a great time. There's been a sell-off. And, you know, when you do get the sell-offs, you want to get in the names that are the best.
All right. First pick, Amazon. What's your second pick?
The other pick is EEM. Now, this is an ETF on emerging markets. So I just mentioned ETM because I like emerging markets going forward. The ETF itself has support at $40. That's where it's trading right now. Emerging markets, ever since the financial crisis, have been underperformers to the S&P. Now, that's 10 years. Am I trying to pick an exact bottom of when this is going to turn around? Well, it's impossible. But I really believe going forward, emerging markets are going to do better than the U.S. markets here. And it's just a great bet based on the fact that at some point here in the near future, I do believe this is going to turn around. And you're going to see emerging markets like China and India outperform the United States.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us, Michael. Michael Palumbo, manager of the TMT Perseverance Fund, author of the book Calculated Risk, and he's here in Chicago.
WBBM News Time, 12:55, wrapping up the noon business hour with a check of Wall Street, sponsored by Grandview Homes. At Bloomberg, here's Jeff Bellinger.
And Cisco, the market is still mixed. Dow Jones Industrials down 127 points, 25,317. The NASDAQ's up 20. The S&P 500 is down 10. The Wind Trust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is down, but just barely, less than a tenth of a percent. There is yet another survey that finds small business operators are optimistic. Capital One Small Business Growth Index is hitting a post-recession high. Two-thirds of the respondents think business conditions in their area are good or excellent. The report says male business owners are especially upbeat. But Harvard's Joint Center for Housing Studies predicts small businesses in the home remodeling industry will see their revenue slow next year as mortgage interest rates continue to rise and home sales slow. With business at 25 and 55 and in the noon business hour, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, I'm Jeff Bellinger, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.